rallying for parental rights.
We rightly teach our children values. Whether you be Christian, Muslim, Jewish, atheist, gay or straight, you will raise your children according to your values.
On the feature today, a speech given on behalf of ARPA at a parental rights rally in Edmonton earlier this month. In the news, a raucous week in Parliament last week. The government moves to entrench so-called gender identity as a basic human right. And some controversy heading up to this week's National Conservative Convention in Vancouver.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
It was a raucous week in the Commons last week. It started when the government almost lost a vote on a bill to do with Air Canada maintenance systems. A bunch of Liberal MPs hadn't shown up for work on Monday morning. The opposition used that to make a point. In the end, the government only survived because the Speaker, a Liberal, had to cast a tie-breaking vote. And that was only the beginning. A few days later, the government introduced Motion 6. It would have reduced the number of days available to the opposition to introduce motions and imposed strict time limits on those motions. One of the measures would have allowed ministers to declare a debate over, and at that point, the bill being debated would have been deemed as passed without the House even holding a vote on it. Then on Wednesday, the government moved to limit debate on C-14, the euthanasia bill. The opposition was furious, and the NDP members tried to block the opposition whip from signaling that the Conservatives were ready to cast a vote on that closure motion, a vote everyone knew the government would win. In apparent frustration, Prime Minister Trudeau rose from his seat, stormed over to a group of NDP members who were blocking Gord Brown from approaching the Speaker, and dragged Brown through the crowd, inadvertently elbowing a female New Democrat member in the process. Trudeau has since apologized repeatedly, and the government ended up withdrawing Motion 6, some say as a sign of good faith and an illustration that the PM was serious about his apology. But Peace River Westlock MP Arnold Viersen says the whole package, Motion 6 and the Prime Minister's actions, were an illustration of what life is really like for opposition members under this government.
I guess his actions just speak to the sentiment that lives within him and his party, I guess, is that they are the supermajority and nothing will stand in their way. Both of that was kind of hidden from Canadians. Us as MPs, we could see that it was all talk and no action. I think that this gives all Canadians the ability to see what really goes on behind the scenes.
As for Bill C-14, it continues to move through the system. The Senate gave notice last week that it has big concerns and may well be proposing amendments. All of this in a context that includes a June 6th deadline to get a new bill passed. If that deadline is missed, the Supreme Court's ruling in the Carter case would essentially become the law of the land. There's considerable debate within the pro-life community right now about what that would mean. Some say the Carter decision is actually a better regulatory system than what's being proposed in the bill. Others say C-14 is better than nothing. Adding to that debate, a ruling from the Alberta Court of Appeal last week, which said C-14 as proposed doesn't live up to the spirit of the Carter ruling because it excludes the mentally ill from applying for doctor-assisted death. The government also moved on another front last week, affirming an election promise to entrench gender identity as a prohibited ground for discrimination in Canada. In other words, a national law is coming on this issue. ARPA lawyer Andre Schutten says there's some huge underlying problems with this.
When we raise legitimate concerns about psychological issues, about psychological treatment, about high incidences of suicide related to trans issues, when we raise questions and concerns about the fallout for trans youth, when all of that is labeled as discrimination under the Canada Human Rights Act, then we've got a problem. Christians will be asked to love their trans neighbors less. And I think that's fundamentally what our concern is as Christians first, and our second concern is that now the law is based on personal subjective feelings or psychological impressions of oneself instead of what is true, what is accurate, what is right.
Last week, Reverend Kevin DeYoung wrote a piece on this issue on the Gospel Coalition website. We linked to that this week. In the piece, he asked the question of whether a high school counselor should affirm the feelings of someone who comes into the office struggling with eating disorders like anorexia. Schutten says it's a good illustration.
Doctors of psychology are also agreeing with that. They see anorexia and other forms of body image psychological concerns as being in the same category or same kind as gender identity issues. But the reality is that to love your neighbor does not require you to affirm and celebrate a psychiatric disorder, but rather to help them through it, to walk alongside them through it. So of course, we as Christians support the equal rights of trans individuals. They should be protected from discrimination. They should be protected from criminal assaults and so on. No trans individual should be allowed to be beat up in the streets because they're trans. Of course not. And no one is saying that they should be. In fact, they already are protected in the Human Rights Code and in our criminal law because assault is criminal no matter who you are.
The new law, it's called Bill C-16, was tabled last Tuesday. And finally, the federal conservatives are getting ready to hold their biennial policy convention in Vancouver later this week. There's been some controversy over policy. The party's National Policy Committee, which screens submissions from riding associations across the country, has refused to bring forward several policy proposals expressly on so-called life issues. That's prompted a campaign to change the party constitution to prevent this from happening in the future. Scott Hayward from the pro-life group Right Now.
That they can get 100 signatures from 100 delegates in 100 different ridings to approve this constitutional amendment to be voted on at this particular convention in Vancouver. That means in future conventions, we can then enact, if need be, that particular mechanism to ensure that pro-life resolutions do hit the floor at future policy conventions.
The campaign's being sponsored by a group called Free Your Policy. We link to their website and Facebook page from the homepage this week. If you're a delegate to the convention, you'll want to check it out before you go to Vancouver. Back with more after this.
ARPA has produced a small interactive slider that is meant to help your MP understand that even with the strictest safeguards, innocent people will die when assisted suicide is legalized. You may have received one at our fall events or with our recent mail donor update. Please be sure to fill it out with a personal message, put it in an envelope, and send it free of charge to your MP today. If you would like more, please email us at info@arpacanada.ca.
And we're back on the program. Just over a week ago, thousands of parents gathered in Calgary and Edmonton in rallies against the Alberta government's Bill 10. That's the law that would strip parents of many of their rights in connection with the education system. Late last year, the government released a set of regulations under that bill, which included the notion that students would be allowed to go to school staff if they were experiencing gender identity issues, and that those teachers would not be allowed to have a conversation with parents about those concerns unless they had the express permission of the child. Those regulations are envisioned to apply to all schools, including private and Christian schools. That's what prompted the rallies. ARPA was represented at the Edmonton event. Reverend Anthony Raukema, a pastor from St. Albert, just north of Edmonton, addressed the crowd on the religious freedom implications of Bill 10. On the feature today, an edited version of the speech he gave. In the background, you'll hear the carillons at the Alberta legislature. The speech started just as those bells were going off to mark 3 o'clock on that Saturday afternoon. There were also a few dozen protesters at the rally who were in support of the legislation. While there weren't many of them, they were kind of noisy. You can hear them at times trying to shout down Reverend Raukema's speech.
We stand with you against those who see us as an obstacle to the development of our children, as a threat, because that's really what's happening here. Strip away all the political rhetoric, all the noise. What's being said with Bill 10? What's being said is that you are to be excluded as parents. This is the mandated exclusion of parents in the development of children. We would never accept this. No group would accept this, that they would be excluded from their children's development. But this is mandated, and as Christians, we stand against this because we've seen it before. We know what this is. This is the government overstepping its bounds. This is the government undermining the rights of parents, undermining the responsibility of parents, the ability of parents to raise their children. And for us at ARPA, what is also concerning is it is an attack on religious freedom. The gospel is not dominated by our view of human sexuality and orientation. There is so much more to the gospel. But God's word speaks to these issues and our responsibilities as parents. And we will not jettison our views. We will not jettison what we have been said to do in God's word simply because it is unpopular or because those who would shout it down do not want us to hold those views. Our hearts go out to those who struggle with sexual identity, with sexual orientation, but our response as Christian parents is rooted overwhelmingly in our relationship with the God who is there and who has spoken. Our response to our children is rooted in that relationship with God and in His vision for human flourishing. We believe as Christians that there is a God in heaven, that He is there, that He has spoken. We believe that in His word, the Bible, He tells us of what it looks like to truly love, to truly live. We live as Christians all of life following the God who so loved us. And to tell us to discard part of His word, when we are told to do this, we are told that our views are invalid. When we respond to that, we are sending a message to our children that there are people who can bully us into submission. We are being told as parents that we must discard part of God's word. Yes, you can follow your God. You can follow your God in your little homes. You can keep it to yourselves. But it cannot be consequential for the rest of your life. And as Christians, we cannot do that. The changes to the Education Act that were made by Bill 10 are forcing us to make a choice on whom we will follow. Do we follow the God we love, who so loved us? Or do we follow those who disagree with us, who believe our views are invalid, and who wish us to disobey God's word, to not be true to who we are? The parental task involves the responsibility to raise our children according to our values, and it is impossible not to do so. Anyone who says that they can raise a child without values has not thought it through. We rightly teach our children values. Whether you be Christian, Muslim, Jewish, atheist, gay or straight, you will raise your children according to your values. What you are seeing today is a conflict between two value systems. That's what it is, plain and simple. You see two value systems conflicting. You see one value system being told that it cannot exist. We see our children are here today. What will they remember from this rally? They will remember that their values were shouted down. They will remember that their views are not respected. They will see that we have made our stand, that we love them, and that we will stand for the values that we believe so true and so dear to our hearts. As Christians, one of the things that we hold dear is the command that God has given us to raise our children. And what we are seeing with Bill 10 is an undermining of the family when there is brokenness in a family. A student may find a teacher who is closer to him or to her than his parents. And the school may indeed provide what is lacking in the home. But the answer is not to enshrine that brokenness in the Education Act. We urge our government to help families, to include families, to build up families. Don't weaken them by forcing a disconnect between parents and their children when it comes to sexual identity and orientation. Premier Notley, we pray for you. We pray for you. We respect you. God in His word calls us to do that too. And we respectfully ask you not to force us to make a choice between following our government's position as expressed in Bill 10 and following the will of the God we love and serve.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.